Hey there, my name's Oisin Dunne and welcome to Audio Talks, the podcast where innovation and inspiration meet and go on a road trip together with the best audio on the planet. Now today, as part of our 80-year JBL anniversary celebration, we are meeting a true JBL BFF and we are celebrating JBL's long-running partnership with Toyota. Now we are going to talk about sound, how it moves us, how it shapes our experiences and increasingly how it influences how we travel. And joining us on this wonderful journey are Kyle Roche, the Global Marketing Director at Harman Automotive. Hi, Kyle. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
And joining us as well is Jeff Trigge, who is the lead for JBL and Mark Levinson Automotive Brands and Speaker Products at Harman Automotive. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks, Oisin. Doing great.
Listen, I'm going to start with yourself, Jeff, because as we were talking about, I said to you before we kind of hit record on the podcast, you are truly an OG. You have been with Harman for almost 30 years. So you know a thing or two about Harman and its history, and specifically about the partnership with the JBL and Toyota brands. Now, I wonder, could you take us back to the early days of this partnership and talk a bit about what brought these two worlds together back in the day?
Holy smokes, you're going to test my memory right off the bat here, I think. But it actually started before I had, just slightly before I had joined Harman. Toyota was looking, as they were entering the US market, they were looking for some features, functions, different things that would appease to the mass market, I guess, in the US market. And they had tracked us down at CES. Mr. Murata from Japan had come over and he tracked down Tom Metzger. And they developed a friendship partnership and would actually, it was probably back in the early 90s, I think, at this stage. And we worked kind of back and forth between the North American team and the team in Japan. And they'd started off, launched our very first JBL system with Toyota back in 1998. It was actually in Japan, ironically. They'd started looking for it in North America, but the first vehicles launched in Japan in 1998. And then soon after that, in 99, they had launched on the Solara convertible, the Camry and the Avalon in North America. That's where it started. And since then, it's just been an incredible journey. I had joined in 98, starting up, I guess, in a sense. We're just kind of getting into our first production vehicles and never looked back. It's been pretty amazing journey, I think, over the years.
That's brilliant. And you're really kind of capturing the scene. I'm just imagining what kind of mixtapes you're going to be listening to or CDs in the car there. But talk to us a bit about why this in-cabin space felt quite distinct and indeed important compared to other places where you'll see and hear JBL, like concert stages, recording studios, you know, movie theaters. Talk to us a bit about this evolution of the in-cabin space as somewhere that's very important to have pristine sound.
Yeah, I think a lot of it started, people had spent so much time in their cars and wanting them to enjoy the time that they're in their vehicles. There's a bit of an emotional connection with vehicles, and we believe that music then strengthens that emotional connection that you have with your vehicle, then with obviously then translates into the connection you have with your brands. We had put it in. It was in the early days. Branded audio was just getting started in the market. There was a few other OEMs that had partnerships with different brands, some of them with Harman and some of them with their competition. And it was really a fresh space that gave some excitement and whatnot into the brand. So with that kind of that alignment, Toyota does the way Toyota does things. I mean, they set out to do whatever they're going to do, they're well, and they're going to do it great. And just trying to work together to figure out how we could offer their customers kind of these best experiences from an acoustics perspective. You know, looking back, the systems that we started with they're very good. They sounded great at the time, but you know, looking back compared to what we have now, they were quite modest systems, if you would, from the content perspective, but they were good. I mean, they were back. We were still doing a lot of sources were AM, FM. We had some cassettes and we may have launched our first systems before this first CD was put into the vehicle. So we've had a lot of changes over there throughout the years. But the one thing that has remained consistent, I think, is just how Toyota and JBL, we've kind of always tried to work together to give the best, acoustic experiences in the vehicle for their customers. It's been quite a journey. It's been fun.
Quite a journey indeed. That's wonderful. And listen, Kyle, coming over to yourself. Now, you have not been in Harman for close to 30 years yourself. You're obviously very youthful, but you have been there long enough to know about the kind of emphasis that Harman and JBL in particular put on the audio being really central to the driving and the in-cabin experience. Can you talk to us a bit about how JBL has been at the heart of this move from in-car audio just being like a little feature and it's being a radio dial to something that's much more immersive and really is like one of the big selling points when folks step up to consider a new car?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. Jeff and I were speaking the other day. He said, I finally matured into the to the higher level because I've crossed the 10-year mark. So I'll take the credit where I can get it. No, but I've been very, very fortunate to work with the JBL brand for many, many years. And the Toyota relationship is unique in the sense that Harman values the JBL brand so deeply. And so the partner we had to work with had to be, you know, on that same playing field or just perspective in the market. You know, we value that brand so heavily. And you'll see that through a lot of the partnerships we have. But Toyota's been really unique. I think when you consider premium audio in cars, you know, maybe it started because people were considering, hey, you know, I'm commuting to my office and I need a place where I can just kind of zone out and get a bit of peace while I'm driving. And it's really evolved to a value feature that I think once you have it, it's hard to go back. And that's really what we're trying to achieve with JBL. And you'll see it, quite frankly, in a lot of models. You know, people are opting for higher grades because of the premium audio experience that you can get and the sound benefits that you can get that go well beyond just volume, you know, the clarity that you get and just that kind of zen moment that you can have on your drive. I really think is something that once you've had it, it's hard to go back, you know. So that's kind of how I always like to look at it. I think that's how Toyota's really seen it grow in the market as well.
That is awesome. You're taking me to a little moment of just driving zen myself. I know exactly what you mean. And I'm sure a lot of people watching and listening to us know exactly what you mean as well. But you spoke about the immense value and heritage of JBL there. It was in the speaker stacks at Woodstock. It's at the Oscars. It's at the Grammys. It's at the biggest mega gigs on the planet. But we're talking now about going inside the cabin of one of these beautiful new Toyotas. Is there a JBL sonic DNA actually in the Toyotas?
Absolutely. We, you know, and one of more recently too, we've really tried to get back to our roots and identifying that sonic signature, we call it, that is aligned with the brand. Because we get asked this question a lot by customers, by media, you know, what makes JBL unique versus other premium audio, you know, brands in the market? And one of the things that we always essentially reference at a very high level is loud and clear. And that's kind of a baseline for, you know, acoustics that you would hear in the car. And so for us, achieving that and making it sound like we believe JBL should sound, you know, that perception that you get if you're at that live venue, that emotional connection that you might have, we want those things to come through because, selfishly, as the marketing person, I want to be able to use that as a key selling feature when Toyota are working with them to try to create that value add that consumers might be looking for. So we can tell those stories of that experience you've had and then try to play it back in the car.
Yes, I like it. Yeah, loud and clear. I hear you loud and clear. But coming over to yourself, Jeff, now you kind of mentioned that this was a very unique kind of partnership. And also what I'm getting loud and clear is the fact that JBL is really this prestige audio brand for Harman. It is a big deal in terms of who you work with. So Jeff, talk to us a bit about what a truly collaborative partnership between an automaker and an audio brand looks like in practice.
Yeah, it's quite special. I think what we've developed over the years, the early involvement, it's not just putting speakers into a car and whatnot, that we really work really, really closely with Toyota in the early design phases, trying to figure out where the speakers go, what kind of grills we're going to use, the positions where they're aiming and whatnot. The interesting part, I think a lot of times in my early days, I was working physically within inside Toyota as kind of a resident engineer type of thing. And we'd work up front with the chief engineers, and often we'd find ourselves sitting in a door frame. It had the external shape and a speaker kind of sitting in before the window was there, before the interior trim was there. But we were really involved up front. And it's something I think a lot of other OEMs and whatnot are doing it. But the way we had worked with Toyota over the years, I think was quite unique and special, that it was genuinely a partnership from the very, very early conception of the vehicle into rolling off the assembly line for the first time.
That's a great image of you sitting in the Toyota as it was sort of being built around, you know, the frame and the sound system, actually, which is amazing. So how do you think this deep, genuine partnership actually changed the outcome in terms of having this pristine, loud and clear JBL audio in the Toyotas? What was different about this partnership?
So I think it started with a lot of people that just genuinely cared about things, about audio first and foremost, but then about doing the right things to represent it properly, I guess, in the market. And I think when you combine those two forces, in a sense, that people just kind of go to the end of the earth to make things happen. And it wasn't only in the design phases. I mean, it extends into the marketing aspects that Kyle's working on. And it was just across the entire company. I like I said, worked with Toyota for the first 25 years at Harman, and I just can't say enough good things about them. They've just been absolutely tremendous. Every aspect of our partnership with them has been just top notch. And sometimes you get treated the way you treat people, or you allow people to treat you, in a sense. And we just had that magic connection over the years that somehow we both acknowledged and respected each other. And then through that, just developed some of the best sounding audio systems that we've been able to put onto the market together. So it's been pretty great.
Love to hear it. That's just brilliant. Brilliant. This is a feel-good story. But automotive product life cycles are not short. You know, they're quite long. How do you, you know, whether it's, you know, product engineering, marketing, how do you actually maintain that momentum together to make sure things are always moving in the right direction?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we obviously, we've got some very robust roadmaps we put together, you know, so working together, even as we're working on vehicles now, we're thinking about what's coming next, where the market's going, how they want to represent their vehicle towards their customers, how can we help them? And one of the things when I was leading our Toyota business, what we'd always talked about, and Kyle remember this back, you know, several years ago when Kyle was on my team, that our biggest goal, our biggest target was to figure out how we could help make Toyota successful. And the more we were able to make Toyota successful, the more successful we would be. And I think Toyota's famous for a lot of the work that they do is always around the end customer. And a lot of our conversations with Toyota, they were also about the end customer. Of course, Toyota is our immediate customer, but everything that we did, we kind of had their end customer and the market in mind. And as we both kind of look forward and try to figure out where the market's going, we don't have the crystal ball, but we do the best we can with the information that we have. And somehow together, we've been able to really combine our knowledge and intelligence and whatnot and come up with some pretty good products in the market. So it's been part luck and I think part skill, I think, in that whole thing.
It seems like a strong case for making your own luck right there. But staying with yourself, Jeff, for one more question.
Sure.
I love this image of you sitting in the car. And, you know, obviously you're a music lover, you're a lover of great audio, but you're also, of course, an engineer. How important do you think it is for engineers like your good self to actually be in the cabin listening to audio, kind of being right at the root of where the action is happening?
Yeah, I think it's great. And full disclosure, if the guys that actually tuned the cars thought they had to rely on me for a second to tune them, we wouldn't be where we are with Toyota right now. But obviously, I think it works. They put smiles on my face and whatnot. And it's been really, really amazing. And hats off to the guys that actually do the tuning in the vehicles. I've sat obviously through many, many processes and whatnot. The amount of work that they go through in order to make the car sound good is quite amazing. It's several, sometimes weeks on end, from a tuning perspective, and that they're out whether it's at the Toyota facility here in Japan or one of the plants around the world and whatnot, but they do a lot of work from that perspective. And I think a lot of it, you know, my engineering background, obviously it fit well within Toyota as well. They were all about solving problems and coming up with the why they're trying to do something. And once we found that once we kind of aligned on that why or that goal that we had, it was really quite, I don't want to say quite easy, but it was much easier to kind of progress towards the end product. And when you've had alignment on that fundamental why and what we're doing on things and stuff like that. So it's been great. And Toyota, obviously the five whys, if anyone knows anything about automotive, and they fit well with us, the way we approach them.
Why indeed. I mean, that you have all the five whys right there. But listen, Kyle, I'd love to come over to yourself for a moment now. I love the way that you speak about being in a car and listening to great music and great audio in a car. And you talk about sound in a car creating a feeling. And it's not just playing music, but it's about connecting with human emotions. Now, how do you define that emotional role of great in-car audio?
I mean, this is an interesting question, because I think you could get 1,000 different answers from 1,000 different people. And that would steer my personal opinion. I think audio in a car is emotional because of the memories that it brings to you. Because music, to me, it's almost interesting when you think about important parts of your life. You remember mm-hmm. songs so many times, you know, your wedding, your first concert, your high school graduation, whatever it might be. There are songs tied to those. And so for me, those emotional connections almost bring you back to those periods of your life where you were the happiest, or you were the most connected to the people that you care about or the things that you care about. Mm-hmm. And so that's what makes audio in general, particularly the car, because it's such a unique setting where, quite frankly, you're alone a lot when you're driving. And so you get that, you get those experiences, and you can almost replay them in your mind. And so for me, just the audio experience that you have as a whole, just music as a whole, has been so impactful on my life. But the listening experiences that you can have really can just change you for the better, or just improve your mood for the day, which sometimes is all we need. So for me, mm-hmm. it's really just an emotional experience, and it just brings back a lot of good memories. And we want to replicate those to the as closely to what you had originally in the car. Because to me, you know, we talked about the win-win on the Toyota and the Harman side. But there's very few things in life that are a win-win-win, and the consumer ultimately is the one benefiting from it. So I always like to say that there are very few losers in what we do, and we're very fortunate to be associated with.
I love that. Win-win-win indeed. And, you know, you're just talking about how both Harman and Toyota have this amazing focus, not just on it's like the vehicle, but actually the end user. And it really comes down to the person who's going to be having this emotional experience in the car. Do you think that the in-car environment is perhaps even more personal than other listing environments? There's something quite unique about it.
Yeah, I mean, the car, well, it's interesting because I feel like consumer audio products and cars have kind of gone hand in hand. In some ways, people look at them as like a reflection of themselves. And you think about how over-ear headphones have gone from something that a studio producer did to now having a certain brand and showing it is a reflection of what you want people to perceive yourself as. And growing up with a father who loves cars and was always working on cars as a kid, I feel like it's one of those things where it just ties you to that product, and it's kind of a representation of what you are as a person. And so that in-car experience, that listening experience, I think is kind of tied back to the fact that you're so emotionally, like you're likely emotionally connected to whatever car it is. It doesn't have to be a Ferrari. It could easily be the first car that you've ever owned, and you're proud of that car and you worked hard to get it. And so listening in that vehicle to me is kind of a reflection of what it means to you as well. So for me, cars are just different than just, you know, four wheels and an engine. And it's always kind of been like that. But I was raised in a very unique situation. So it means a lot to me, but I'm sure a lot of people can relate.
100%. And I just remember one of our previous guests on the podcast, the international superstar DJ Carl Cox, was talking about that emotional rush he gets when he's listening to drum and bass, for example, in one of his OG Ford Mustangs. He has a huge collection of cars. And of course, he mentioned one of the Harman brands as being the sound system in there. And it was just so beautiful, kind of feeling that excitement and how personal it was to him to have that experience. experience with the Harman in-car sound system. But listen, we're obviously kind of in very modern car cockpits. There's a number of different uses. There's things like calls, navigation, music, obviously. How do you think about this advanced technology balancing these different use cases seamlessly in the modern cockpit of a car?
My big thing about in-car cabin experiences is sometimes the best things are doing incredible things that you don't even realize are happening. And so that seamless, you use that word seamless there, when everything is working together, it's personalized, it's creating a safe cabin experience, it's creating a great acoustic experience, it's creating a visually appealing experience, all of those are working. You're not even having to consider what button I push, what knob I turn, you know, what power button I have to turn on. And they're working to your benefit. Ultimately, that's the goal. They're working to improve your driving experience, your life experiences. Then I think that's when it really clicks for me as a person, because we have enough things in our minds anyway. So if we're asked to do 10 other things, the likelihood is we're going to say, can you just give me a newspaper and a cup of coffee? And I just want to be by myself for a few minutes, because technology should exist to make your life easier, in my opinion. So take that for what it's worth.
Strong. Agree. And Jeff, what's your perspective?
Yeah, no, I think the kind of going back a little bit to what Kyle was talking about earlier around the emotional connection and whatnot. I don't think we realize how much audio impacts us and around us in our daily lives. And goes back to it was probably 10 or 15 years ago now. One of our JBL engineers, who's actually based in the UK, he was giving a guest lecture at a university. And he was talking about the importance of sound and different things in the movie industry and whatnot. And one of the students had challenged him, and this was long before 4K and, you know, all these video technologies had come out and stuff like this. And he was putting the argument forth that audio doesn't matter. It's just the video is where the future is, kind of thing. And without missing a beat, he looked at the kid and he said, okay. And this was before Maverick had come out. So it was like, he looked at him and said, okay, if you think that, go watch Top Gun on mute. Right. And tell me, are you going to enjoy the movie as much without that kind of thing? And the whole class kind of snickered a little bit. And the poor guy was like, oh, yeah, okay, I think you're right. So that emotional connection, I think, plays in our daily lives and whatnot. And then it brings it into the vehicle and a lot of that stuff that Kyle had just kind of talked about. It's around us so much that we don't realize where it connects. And another anecdotal story, we talked earlier about working with the chief engineers on the early days of the vehicles. And within Toyota, these guys are top of the food chain, responsible for the entire vehicle. And they're pretty powerful figures within the business. And on two separate occasions, we had brought them into the office. We'd listen to some music and we talk about what they wanted to do with the vehicle, how they wanted it to sound and different things like that. And on two separate occasions, the chief engineers, we had played some music and they had started to cry. So whatever that emotional connection was, as Kyle was mentioning before about maybe it's your wedding, maybe it was your mother's favorite song or whatever the case was. So we're in giving this demo, you know, kind of looking around at each other's like, you got some tissues? You know, we didn't know what to do. And then finally we're kind of like, okay, here you go. And it was never to be spoke of again, you know, kind of thing outside of that one kind of intimate connection that we had in there. But it shows the power of music and how it impacts people's lives and stuff like that. And we're just so fortunate to be in the middle of it. I think it's really spectacular when you think about it.
Yeah. Well said. I can relate to all of those things, you know, watching Top Gun, the sound, it's so important, obviously. I've been moved to tears on quite a few occasions by beautiful rendition of music, beautiful performance, and that kind of pristine sound. It just hits you somewhere in a way that other things just don't. It's like a deep universal language. And I totally get that. So I hope tissues were available at future playback sessions and product demos.
We have them
demos
in the corner of the room now. So,
oh, very good. Very good. Yeah, we actually had this amazing guest who's kind of a historian for like film and movie theater sound called Bobette Buster. And she's this incredibly influential and brilliant screenwriter and screenwriter coach. And she spoke about the power of the audio track in the Godfather films and how like the audio actually tells the story in parallel with the visuals. And it's kind of spine tingling moment just remembering that. So we'll link to that as well in the show notes. You know, coming back to folks kind of having this incredible like first experience with JBL sound and they're moved to tears and they see, you know, this film in the way they've never seen it before. Do you think this is a kind of meaningful way for folks to connect with JBL, the JBL brand in the first instance through these partnerships with brands like Toyota?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember it was one of the first demo vehicles that I had listened to when I had moved to Japan way back when. And I had a cassette at the time, and then it was a CD, and it was a wonderful band from Ireland, Ashin, so you could probably relate with who it was. I'd listened to it all the time. And I had put it into this vehicle for the first time, and I heard things that I had never heard before, because I had never really listened to music on a high fidelity type of system. It was always, you know, in your dorm or whatever the case was in your you know, Walkman at the time. And it was quite amazing. It was a brand new experience for me, because I had like heard things that I had never ever heard before. And I think a lot of times that people really experience good quality audio, I don't think I was the first one and the only one, that I think the first taste of it is often in their vehicle. It's a check the box when you purchase your vehicle. And then when you start to experience it, you find, oh my goodness, this is great. And then it kind of then extends into other parts of their life where they start to buy maybe a little bit higher grade headphone, or they start to look for better quality sound in their homes or whatever the case is. But it's definitely been, from that perspective, it's really helped us get the message out for how important music is and whatnot. And I think Kyle could probably talk a little bit to the next one here, that what we're seeing now, even within the audio industry, we went for convenience around portable devices and whatnot. And we're seeing now the resurgence over the last 4 or 5 years or so with the desire for higher quality sound, whether it's lossless audio and whatnot. And Kyle, you could probably speak to how you're seeing this maybe from a market perspective and how it's impacting the consumers and people around the world.
You struck a really interesting point that I've not necessarily thought about specifically, but when you think about almost like a spatial sound experience, that might be one of, if the only places where people get a true spatial sound experience in their own personal item that they own outside maybe a movie theater or a concert, you know. And it's kind of that gateway drug, so to speak, where you hear it and you're like, wow, I could have this in my home. I can have this. And it's more than what you can attain in a headphone. And there are technical reasons why we could go into that. I mean, I didn't touch on it earlier because I wanted to make it more about JBL, but Jeff's absolutely right. I mean, the growth of the amount of content that's available to anybody. And now with almost all major streaming partners offering a lossless option, you know, back, you know, even when I started at Harman, there was a love-hate relationship with streaming and Bluetooth, because it was, hey, it's going to sound great. We know you want to listen to your favorite band, but maybe you connect it with a USB. Maybe you do this. Maybe you that. We all realized that convenience was probably going to play first and foremost in how they're listening to their audio. But now you have embedded audio applications in your head unit. So there's not even a connection there. Or you have tethered options, or you have high resolution Bluetooth codecs, or you have lossless audio. And, you know, as we go through this, I always kind of say one of the coolest things, and I find this is kind of an engineering point, but I find this regardless of customer. Engineers love to tinker. And the coolest thing about audio is, I always use this analogy when I'm talking to anybody, it's a bridge. And so you're right, that content that you can get, if you're streaming it lossless, you need to make sure the connection is as strong as possible. The amplifier is high quality. The speaker placement and speaker quality is as good as possible. And all of that plays into this sound experience that, you know, not only creates the value and increases the value of it when you can listen to anything you want at any moment in time, but also just makes the audio better. And so, and that tinkering element, that constant pursuit of perfection, I think is why so many engineers love to work with us on their audio in their vehicles, because they're like, well, what if we did this? What if we did this? What if we did this? And you can always get just a little bit better. And the, you know, it's like the difference between a Casio and a Rolex. They're both watches, But it's those small differences that make the biggest difference and ultimately reflect what the brand and the quality is. So I kind of like to say that JBL is trying to accomplish the same thing from an audio perspective, particularly in the car, because that's where I pay most of my attention on a daily basis. But hopefully that addresses kind of what you're thinking, Jeff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the other thing to kind of piggyback off that just a little bit is that vehicles are actually tuned. So a lot of times at home or whatever the case is, your speakers maybe aren't in the best position or the right position. Our engineers spend so much time in the car trying to make it sound right. So once we get the speakers package and locate it and whatnot, we spend a lot of time trying to make it sound right. So it's not just putting high quality parts in the car. It's really trying to put them in the right locations and then making them sound good. So with that, I think the car really brings out the best experiences that we have for people. We know where you sit. We know where you're located. So there's not a whole lot of moving around within the vehicles. So it makes it a little bit better chance to get good sound while you're in the car, I think.
Phenomenal. That's just wonderful. You're really painting a very vivid and detailed picture of, you know, the importance of high quality sound inside cars, why it is a big deal emotionally and personally. And you've really kind of taken us under the hood, excuse the pun, of actually kind of delivering this in cabin and why the in cabin experience can be so much more detailed and nuanced. And, you know, you have an army of engineers tinkering away, as you say, just to make sure it's the best possible experience you could have. Jeff, I'm going to put this question to you because I suspect you have an overview of it because of your tenure and expertise as much as anything. But talk to us a bit about how this actually scales. So you're talking about engineers designing these meticulous in-cabin experience where everything is spatially kind of laid out. It's immersive. It's next generation. And you're actually regenerating this for different cabin sizes, different geographies, different vehicles with different engines. You know, that sounds like a lot of work to me anyway. Talk to us a bit about how you actually go about scaling this audio excellence, you know, maybe with a partner like Toyota.
Yeah, it's not easy, right? So as you laid it out there, especially with a lot of the growth in the early years, right? We were mainly focused on just the North American markets. So we had a few key people that were kind of taking care of a lot of different things. But as we started to expand throughout the region and then expand globally, it was a challenge. I mean, we do concurrent development on vehicles that are being made in Japan, they're being made in Europe, North America, Southeast Asia, all China, all these different markets. So trying to keep the teams coordinated and whatnot is a challenge. We are fortunate that I think we have that core group of people. Like myself, I've been at Harman now for 28 years. Kyle's been over a decade, as he mentioned there earlier. And we've got a lot of people on the business right now that have been around for a long time, which is not maybe necessarily as normal, if you would, within the automotive industry. There's sometimes a lot of churn. And as new people come in, we really go back to first principles, I think, on some cases where we start with the why, what we're trying to do and how we're trying to, as I mentioned earlier, make our customer Toyota more successful, and then educating them. Once they understand that why, then the tactics or the tactical work of trying to retune the vehicle or whatever the case is that we'll train them on and we'll educate them and whatnot, it becomes a little bit easier to understand that. So as we bring up teams, it's been challenging, but it's been really good. When we hire people, I mean, at one point I had gone over and I had opened up our office in Brussels, over in TME, and I was just so lucky that we found just some incredible people that the majority of them are still there today. But they came in, had a shared vision, we had a shared mindset, a common mindset, and it just somehow it resonated. And then once that kind of took root, after I had left, more new people had come in and they had passed on the mindset and the way of working to the future generations and whatnot. So I think a lot of it right now, audio, when you look at it, it's something fun to be working on within the vehicle. And when you get a whole bunch of great people working together on it, it's kind of contagious and it continues out. Now, we're not perfect. We've made a lot of mistakes over the years and whatnot, but you learn from them. You try not to repeat them and you just keep pushing forward. And the other part of that too, as well, Toyota's been so, when I think back to the early years, I mean, we didn't know what we didn't know. When we started, it was embarrassingly, we knew very little at the very, very early years, but Toyota was just absolutely amazing. Took us under their wing, explained us just the the fundamentals, you know, here's a car door, you know, not quite that simple, but really, really the fundamentals of making the automotive industry and building a vehicle with them. And as you learn from them, right, then you're able to kind of pass that on to new people and whatnot. But I've said it many times and I'll continue to say it. They've just been such an amazing partner throughout the years. It couldn't be this successful without them. So it's been great.
I love it. I love it. So it's that kind of overlap between engineering expertise and empathy as well, where, you know, it is very much about the people. I know it's a cliche, but it's great to see it actually realized and it's actually in practice. Yeah. It is all about this expertise, the people. You just kind of mentioned something that's very resonant with me because I've interacted with folks from Harman for a very long time. And it is so common to meet people who've been there 10, 20, 30, 40 plus years. You know, this is a company where people love audio and they stay somewhere they can really make a difference. But, you know, Kyle, I'd love to come back to yourself because you spoke about these empathetic moments, you know, these moments of emotion, these moments that are very meaningful personally. You know, you're talking about moments that aren't planned. So late night drives, commutes, family moments, etc. Can you talk a bit about how Harman kind of designs technology that is so adaptable in these different scenarios?
Yeah, I mean, this is more of a high-arching, you know, product perspective, but like our product is designed to be there with you no matter where you go. And I mean, I think that's reflected in the fact that JBL, if you think about competitors in the market, JBL is such a broad brand. You know, Harman Automotive has a lot of brands, and there is not one of them that can probably touch all those areas of life that JBL can. You know, the studio, the concert, the movie theater, the home, the car, the list goes on and on. So really, wherever audio is, JBL is. And so I think that's kind of at the core of our DNA. And that's really where the brand has seen growth. If you look back 10, 15 years, the JBL brand grew so dramatically because of portable Bluetooth speakers. But what's the value behind a portable Bluetooth speaker? It's the ability to bring your music with you, no matter where you go, hiking, the beach, camping, sporting event, whatever it is. And so I think that overarching perspective of what the brand stands for really resonates in the product and how we design it and what we're trying to do. And we're trying to be there no matter where you are. So for me, that's what JBL really stands for. And that's what makes JBL so unique when you compare it to anybody else.
Kyle, that was really interesting. And you mentioned JBL portables, which, you know, everybody knows JBL headphones, JBL Bluetooth speakers. A lot of people are familiar with JBL from live gigs, from concerts, etc., and especially from in-car audio these days through partnerships like with Toyota. But I know that JBL is also really pushing the envelope in terms of really high-end audio. Talk to us about what's happening in 2026. An 80-year-old JBL brand is making something wonderful happen.
No, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. The fact that a technology brand as a whole is 80 years is impressive, to say the least. And the brand is broad, like I said. But I think the one thing that always holds true for JBL is we continue to push the limits in product capability. You know, you go back and you look at products like the Everest, you look at products like the K2s, and now the Summit series. Those speakers are, for most people, unattainable. Not because you don't want them, but because they're expensive. But they're expensive because they have technology and development that's gone into them. That is tens of thousands of hours, years of development. I was fortunate to start my career at Harman actually with the luxury audio team. So I have an intimate connection to what those products are and what they mean for our brand. And, you know, simple things like the horn tweeter. There's a reason why we put that in every single one of our Toyota applications is because we've taken inspiration from those high-end JBL speakers and that horn, which is iconic with how, you know, sound is replicated for loudspeakers on JBL. And we've input that in the vehicle, in most cases in the A-pillar, so that it's at an ideal listening height so that we can try to achieve what we've been able to achieve with speakers like that Summit series. So for us, we're going to continue to push the envelope of what you would expect a speaker to be capable of.
That really kind of illustrates the immense kind of brand continuity and the heritage of JBL. You're not just buying JBL now, you're buying 80 years of experience and hundreds of thousands of work hours and expertise that go into each JBL experience, no matter what the context. And those Summit speakers are utterly mouthwatering.
One other thing as well, Kyle, I think the maybe worth noting is some of the longevity of some of our products. Here in Japan, the Paragons that had come out in the 1960s or 70s, and there's a whole culture here where people are refurbishing them, and they've created these cafes or bars where people actually come in. They'd bring their own vinyl and their music, and they would come just to listen to the JBL sound coming out of these speakers. And then in different parts of Japan, the old studio monitors as well. We've got special services where we'll actually recone them after the years and stuff like that. But the products and stuff that we have, they have a longevity to them as well, which is quite special. So they almost become an investment as much as a hobby for them that side.
Japan is a place that is high on my bucket list, I have to say. And we are actually going to be doing a special episode of the Audio Talks podcast, which is going to be dedicated to the culture of jazz kissa and listening cafes in Japan and in Tokyo. And we're speaking with some folks who are very involved in that whole scene. So I absolutely love that reference. It's like high quality is kind of timeless. And these bars are keeping that timeless JBL, like that rich, deep quality alive. Mm. And like you say, it speaks to the longevity of the products, which is very unique in the business. I really love that. Thank you very much for taking us to Tokyo for a few seconds there. That's brilliant. But listen, I would like to move us along and let's invite you to get out your crystal balls as we look at the future of in-car audio. And Kyle, I'll start with yourself. Now, there's lots of predictions around what's going to change about motoring. You know, we've got self-driving cars, we've got connected cars, we've got cars with very different interiors to what we think of the car experience today. How do you think that might change the role of sound in these cars of the future?
Well, I think we've spoke about it a little bit today. You know, sound is everywhere. A lot of times you don't even realize it's there, which is a blessing and a curse. It's constantly around what you're doing. I mean, I think if you asked me and I had a crystal ball, I would say as the driving experience evolves and the vehicle becomes less about the driving signature, the steering, the handling, the acceleration, it becomes more about what can you utilize that space for? What can that space be for you? And the flexibility of what that space might offer. And so for me, you know, going back to what I just mentioned, audio is everywhere, but also it can be something. It can be that extension of your office. It can be that extension of your living room. It can be that extension of your own personal space and how you want it to be. And I think, you know, as the Harman Samsung umbrella, you know, really encompasses what that is for a lot of people in their homes and in their offices, I think the reflection of that in the car is something that I would expect to happen. Because I don't know about you, but I would much rather be, you know, if I had the opportunity to be watching Top Gun Maverick, to pull out something that we mentioned earlier, I'd much rather be watching that on a good audio system in my car if I had the capability. So for me, I think it just continues to elevate the importance of it as other things maybe become more standardized or more automatic, I guess, if you want to use that word in terms of autonomous driving. So that's kind of my perspective and where sound might evolve as the car and just the mobility industry changes.
Top Gun for the win every time. And I love the idea that the in-car entertainment could be as immersive and as relaxing as maybe an in-flight entertainment system, but with the sound system of a miniature cinema around you, making it completely immersive. That's a great vision of the future. Now, moving over to your good self, Jeff, time for you to take out your crystal ball and talk to us about what you think is the most exciting thing about the future of in-car audio.
So I think it may not be limited to just music in the sense that we want to try to help our partners make everything that touches their customers' ears and then the experiences around that more enjoyable. We've gotten to a good place with playing back music, but how do you bring families together within the car, right? Whether it's in vehicle communication or it's trying to allow, you've got your togetherness, but you also have your individual spaces maybe within the vehicle. So allow each of your customers maybe to listen to things on their own, but still be brought together in an inclusive manner through maybe like an intercom type of system or whatnot. But I really think that we're, especially with the processing power as it starts to increase within the vehicle, I think the sky's the limit right now for what we're going to see from an audio perspective coming up. I don't have that crystal ball, unfortunately, but we do have a lot of good ideas and hopefully we'll be able to continue to work with our partners and Toyota especially to make some of it happen.
Fantastic. Okay. And final question before a very important final question, which is, if our viewers and listeners were to take away one really important thing about the power of in-car audio and what it can do, what would that be? We'll start with yourself, Kyle.
I think for me, just really, truly understanding that it's not just a badge. You know, it is an improved product. You are, and I personally believe, you're getting what you pay for. And you could put your faith in the fact that two really strong companies who care deeply about what they do are trying to create true value for you as a consumer rather than slapping a pretty label on a product and telling you that it's an upcharge. So, I mean, I really truly believe that premium car audio is worth the value that you're paying for it.
I love it. Okay, Jeff, what say you?
Yeah, I don't know that I could say it any better than what Kyle had just said, but I think it comes down to the emotional connection. And we often joke that a car audio system, branded audio system in your vehicle it's infinitely adjustable in a sense that you put your own music in, what makes you happy or what makes you reflect or whatever the case is, that it's really every customer is going to have a different experience within the vehicle. And I think that experience then helps create that emotional attachment within the vehicle. So I think it's really going to be around that experience that you have in your car and your relationship to your music.
That's just absolutely nailed it. And you've kind of hinted at, you know, the reasons throughout this podcast recording why music producers still refer to the car test as kind of the ultimate test of a track. A million years ago, I was in a band, very like the 90s, before the Harman and Toyota partnership, should we say. And we worked with this wonderful music producer in New York. And he absolutely, it's like nothing would leave the studio unless he listened to it in his car on his amazing sound system. And it sounded great there. That was like the ultimate test. But my friends, my final question to both of you is, if you were to choose a track that you want us to listen to on one of these gorgeous JBL sound systems in a new Toyota, what would that track be? And we'll start with yourself, Kyle.
Interesting question. I think I'm going to mention it because I've talked a lot about experiences today. I have tickets to the Disclosure concert here in a few weeks. And so I was listening to a song that I like. It's Disclosure in the Weekend. It's called Nocturnal. It has a really cool spatial element to it. But for me, I mentioned it not because it's a song that probably is overwhelming for many people, but because I'm excited to see them live and I appreciate their music. So for me, again, it tied back to that live experience. So for me, that would be probably something that I would hop in my car and want to listen to today.
Outstanding. And Jeff, what's your choice?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would probably pick something from, as a good Canadian, something from the Tragically Hip. They were Canada's band many, many years. Their lead singer died of cancer probably 10 years ago or so, and probably one third of the country had tuned in. Just before it passed away, they put on a final concert and was televised on the CBC and on the national TV. And it really was kind of the soundtrack of the nation. And I think I would probably, at this, everything going on around the world right now, probably put something in there and reminisce a little bit about the good old days we had while we were growing up.
I love it. That's a fantastic reference. And what a band, my goodness. And that was a real kind of sad moment. So we are going to be adding both of those tracks to the VIP Audio Talks title playlist. And all of our VIP guests from Carl Cox to A.R. Rahman have added tracks. And I'm going to sprinkle in a track myself. And that is kind of sticking with the theme of the program. I'm going to choose Roadrunner by Jonathan Richman and The Modern Lovers, which is great music to drive to. Okay. And this brings us to the end of today's journey. A big thank you to our two wonderful guests, Kyle Roche and Jeff Trigge, for taking us inside the evolution of JBL and Toyota and giving us a glimpse into what the future of mobility might look like. For more exclusive content, some behind the scenes goodies, and maybe even some competitions, try to find us over on the Instagram. We're actually very easy to find. It's at Audio Talks Podcast. So I do hope to see you there. Like, follow, subscribe, all of the good stuff. My name is Oisin Lunny, and I'll be back again soon for some more adventurous audio talks. I do hope to see you then. Until then, enjoy the ride.